So as we look at Mother's Day, when I think of moms, I want to kind of, for a minute, get inside their heads. And for a minute, I just want to, you know, think about what is most important to them. And when I think about that, the answer is so obvious. When it comes to being a mom, what's the most important thing to you?
Kids.
Your kids. Your children. And not just your kids and your children, it gets a little more specific, doesn't it? You think about their future, don't you? You think about what's going to happen to them. Who are they hanging out with? What kind of career are they starting? What kind of life are they going to have? And most importantly, will they be connected to Jesus? There's a lot of weight on moms. They have to take care of all the stuff in the house. They got to make sure all the lunches are made. They got to make sure the kids get up on time. They got to make sure they get off to school. They got to make sure of all these things. And on top of all of that, they also got to make sure of their future. And mind you, again, we're back to that uncertainty principle, right? You can't control their future. You can't take care of everything. But you can kind of put in some guardrails and you can try to help as much as you can. But there's always that weight, isn't there? Can I get an amen? There's always that weight for your children. There's always that weight for your grandchildren. And what can we do? Because we can't guarantee anything, can we? We can't guarantee who they're going to hang out with. Sure wish we could. Wish we could kind of take them all through and us guys, man, when we get to Father's Day, we'll talk about this. We'll sit down and have that talk, you know. And you said, you want to date my daughter?
Not afraid to go back to jail.
But the moms are just, I think first and foremost, the moms are just praying. They're just praying for their kids. They know they can't control everything. They're trying to control as much as they can, but they know they can't control everything, especially as they get older. Can I get an amen as they get older and as they leave? It's a whole different world, right? And they're off on their own. They're adults now. And now you really don't have the kind of control. At least when they were kids, you had a little bit of control. But now that they're grown and they're off on their own and they're making their own decisions, all you can do is hope they're going to have some wisdom, right? You try to tell them, well, you know, I've been there, done that. You don't want to do this. You know, but they don't always listen, do they? So what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what moms do. Moms pray. They pray that God's presence is upon their child. They pray that their child will have wisdom. They pray for the people that are around them. They pray for their circumstances. They pray for their career. They pray for their relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. The number one thing we can do is pray for our children. So as we continue in the book of Timothy, we're into Timothy 2 now. 2 Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy about his mom. He talks to Timothy about his grandmother. He talks to them about legacy. So my question today is, what will be your legacy? Have you ever thought about that? What will you leave behind? And on Mother's Day, we're certainly going to be looking at our children, right? The ones who are going to carry the baton, who are going to carry the torch. We're going to look at the people that we've poured into, if we're not a physical parent to somebody, but that we poured into people. We're going to look at that ripple effect that I was just talking about in prayer. What is your legacy going to look like? What do you want your legacy to look like? When you think of your kids, what do you want for them? If you could only get one thing for them,
happiness.
What would it be?
Happiness.
A relationship with the Lord.
Debbie said it. A relationship with the Lord. See, if they have a relationship with the Lord, it covers everything else. Like, you could have this whole laundry list of things that you would want for them, a good career, a good spouse, children that behave, and children that, you know, don't get out of control, and situations in this world. You could pray for all these individual things, good health. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's that weight I'm talking about. Or you could simply just say, you know, Lord, I give them to your hands. Lord, I trust you. And my prayer is that they know you and they walk with, that is a legacy. That has legs on it. That will continue on forever and ever and ever. If there's one thing we need for our kids, it's their relationship with Jesus. And really, when you look at Paul and Timothy, it's almost that same thing that's going on. Paul has been pouring into Timothy. He's been training him. He's even given him one of the churches he planted. He's saying, Timothy, I trust you. I'm going to give you this responsibility. I'm going to give you all these people. And I know what you're up against, man. This place that you're in is messed up. They've got all kinds of idols going on. They got all kinds of situations. Even within the church, they can't get along. And I know that you're going to be like a parent. You're going to be like a mom and a dad to them. And I trust you. And so he's got that relationship with Timothy. You know, that's what I'm talking about here. It's not just the moms here. It's the dads. It's anybody pouring into anybody that we have this legacy, this ripple effect that will continue on. Second Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Now, so first of all, I want to set something straight. I've told you guys in the past that you are apostles. Now, there's two different definitions of apostle, okay? There's an apostle from the Old Testament, or actually from the New Testament, which is somebody who has seen and walked with Jesus, okay? We have the 12 disciples and we have Paul. However, what the word apostle means, if you go back to the root Greek, it means sent, a sent one. And that's why I tell you are apostles, because each and every one of you are sent. You are sent. That's what that ministry is about, Dave and Amy. You are sent to go do that ministry. That's what it's about with Nathan, Debbie. You are being sent into that situation to help Kayla. And Greg and Zanetta, you are sent into the life of Gregory and Lena because you are given that responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we are sent into this world. So Timothy is being sent. Paul is being sent. We are all apostles that we are sent in the name of Jesus. And look why we are sent. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. By the will of God is how we are sent. In keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. This fits so well for today. You know, moms, they first and foremost, what do? They give birth. They give birth to that child. You know, and sometimes it's a second birth. I was hearing it on the radio here, and they were doing something on Caleb. I thought it was so cool. They were taking all the different artists, and then they were bringing them on with their moms. And so you hear all these different artists who have done these beautiful songs that we use in worship, and they would talk about their moms, and they would have their moms on the air talking about their kids. And they were talking about, like, what song is the one that really touched their heart, and what was it like raising this child, what kind of a pride wells up. Remember, pride's a good thing. If we have confidence in God, and they're praising God in their music, that pride's a good thing. What kind of pride do you have for your child who is praising God? And it was just so cool that they were doing that, and they were showing this generational, and that's what I'm talking about with the music, Mary Pick. The first thing that struck me when she started playing it on our piano at home is when she started talking about generational. I said, how did you pick that? Do you understand how much that is fitting like a glove to what we're going to be talking about today? And she didn't even understand that we were really going to be talking about legacy today. Or when it's all been said and done. When we talk about legacy, isn't that what we're talking about here? That when we're no longer here, what is left behind? When we're no longer here, what kind of ripple effect do we have? When we're no longer here, what will happen to our kids, to our children, to those we've poured into? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Life. Jesus gives us life. Jesus, in fact, births us into that second birth. He gives us that second life. You know, we are rebirthed in our Lord Jesus. We are given new life in Jesus. We see things. Don't we see things differently? Don't you look out and, like, for me, like, light. I gotta tell you, with that book of Revelation, I don't look at light the same way anymore. I never will. Every time I see any light, anything, even a fluorescent light on the ceiling here, or this beautiful sunlight pouring in through these windows, or if I'm outside and I see the sun, which is blinding at times, or I see it filtering through the clouds. You ever see it filtering through the clouds and all the rays are coming down? It actually looks like heaven. Light. The light of God, the light of Jesus is everywhere. It's all around us. That is life. Light is the life of Jesus. You know, when we get to heaven, the only thing that we're really promised is light. And that light will be Jesus is the lamp, and that light will be the light of God. There'll be no other illumination. There'll be no sun, no moon, no fluorescent lights. Only God and Jesus. So when I look at light now, I see it in a whole different realm. Every time I see light, I see Jesus now. And let me tell you, I see light everywhere. Everywhere I look, I see something's illuminated. I was looking today, and I was watching a water drop that was dropping down the shower. After I had taken a shower, it was on the glass pane, but the light was reflecting differently as that drop would come down. It was so cool. This is just a drop of water, folks. And I would watch it as it began, it would have a little glow on top of it. But as it dripped down, that glow would come around the whole thing. And it would illuminate the entire drop like it was glowing light. Jesus gives us life. And that's our legacy, right? That's what we want to give somebody else. We want to give them that light. We want to be that light so we can give them that light. Continuing, Paul says to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. My dear son. Now, Timothy is not Paul's birth child, okay? But he's like a son. He's like his child. He's been pouring into him. He's been worrying about him. Can I get an amen that we worry about our children? He's been concerned about him. He's been praying. Man, he's been praying for him over and over. In fact, Timothy is Paul's legacy. He's part of that legacy, part of all those churches he's been planting, all those people he's been pouring into. And so as he pours into Timothy, and Timothy pours into all the people of the church, you know, when I got into the disciple-making thing, I met this guy named Dan Marsh. And Dan told me about a disciple-making journey that he was on. And I had just come back from Nashville with Mary. And I just learned 26 different ways to do disciple making. And so when he told me about his method, I was really not interested at all. And I said, you know, hey, Dan, that's cool, but, you know, I just got done learning 26 different methods. I don't need number 27. I really have no interest in this whatsoever. However, long story short, I won't bore you with all the details. I go to Dan's church and I meet this guy and I'm just taken back, and it's like, wow, boy, Dan's found something here. There's something going on with this. And so next thing I know is I'm involved in this Timothy Initiative. I've been involved in it now for about 6 years. It's the most spectacular thing I've ever seen. And all these people, we poured into a ton of people. We've ran session after session. We've introduced it to 100 different ministers at a conference. We have poured into all kinds of people, or pouring into all kinds of people. The reason I tell you all this is that every person that I affected, every person that's ever been in any of the classes that I ran, any of the pastors that I talked to, 100 different pastors, and they got a little inclination to maybe do this thing, all of that goes on Dan's register. Because see, if Dan hadn't poured into me, I wouldn't have poured into the next person to pour into the next person. What we learned in that whole disciple making is 3 to the 21st power is 10.8 billion people. You've heard me say that before. That means that 3 people who pour into 3 people who pour into 3 people, if that happens 21 times, it means that we have talked to and poured into every person on this planet. Whoa. That's God math. That's generational. That's ripple effect. That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Timothy, my dear son, what an affectionate term. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. There it is. You know, Paul's done a lot of stuff. He's taught Timothy all kinds of things. He's written him all kinds of letters. He's tried to visit him. He sent him other emissaries to help him out. He has given him every piece of advice that he possibly could. He's given him the greatest startup church you can imagine. He has told him all the pitfalls. We've been talking about all those things. But the number one thing Paul is doing is getting on his knees and praying for Timothy, and I bet he's doing it every day. I bet he's doing it more than once a day. He's constantly praying over Timothy for the ripple effect, for the ministry that Timothy will have. He says to him, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, as I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. This strikes me that is bittersweet. That Paul, he launched Timothy. He saw Timothy off. They were in contact, physical contact. I think of moms. I think of what we were just talking about. About when the children leave the nest. And for a mom, there's nothing more difficult than when your child leaves home. Can I get an amen?
Sometimes it's harder when they come back.
There's another challenge for you.
Go away.
But when they leave and you don't get to see them day after day, when they're young, I think of Greg and Zanetta, when they're young and you got them every day, it's a constant, right? It's every day. As a matter of fact, it's like baseball practice, and it's like lessons, and it's school, and it's like, how do I balance everything? But when they're gone, and there's that void, and maybe you get some phone calls, and maybe you get some visits, and I know people, man, and their kids are in other countries. They're in Japan, or they're in India, and you want to talk about a long-distance relationship here that they don't get to see them but maybe once a year if they're lucky. But what did we leave them with? They're over in India, they're over in Japan, and we have absolutely no control, do we, at that point? Or maybe they're over in California, or in our case, Florida, and you don't get to see them each and every day. But you worry about them, and you care about them, and you're trying to communicate, and you find out, mostly what you find out is when things are going wrong, right? Can I get an amen? When things are falling apart, and then you need to step in and help again and at some level. But when they're no longer there every day with you, it's different. It's bittersweet. And when they leave home for the first time, it's bittersweet. It's tears, isn't it? And even when you talk to them and they're no longer in your household, it's tears, isn't it? That is the kind of relationship that Paul has with Timothy. They are crying over each other that they have to part from one another. Final verse, and the most important. Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere, say that with me, sincere. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Do you see what he's saying? On this Mother's Day, do we understand what he's saying? It is what got poured into him. Timothy is the man that he is because of Lois. Timothy is the man he is because of Eunice. He is the man he is because of his mother and his grandmother pouring into him. And I believe, and I, with all my heart, soul, that both of them were praying over him all the time. And I know that the moms are praying over their kids all the time. I know that the stepmoms are praying over the kids all the time. I know that the people that we pour into, even if they're not our birth child, our adopted children, we're praying over them all the time. I know that the people that we pour into, and if we haven't had a child ourselves, that we are pouring into them and praying over them. I even hear about praying over strangers that are just neighbors that we don't even know. I hear of situations on text of people I never even heard of, and then we're all coming together and praying about this situation. I think of Zanetta's friend and how now her child has come home, and I love that. I love the pictures that Zanetta sent us. I don't know if you all saw them, but the one that said the great escape, that was the best one to me. This little baby, this little boy is in the hospital and he's on all these tubes and stuff, and he finally gets to come home, and pretty near the day he gets to come home, they captioned it, the great escape. I'm getting out of here. I'm gone now. But we were praying over that situation. We were praying over Nathan. We were praying over all these different situations across all these years in this church. And I'm going to tell you, those prayers are powerful. Those prayers give us a ripple effect. Those prayers are life-changing. Jesus is life. Paul is pouring into Timothy, and he's trying to help him understand that Jesus is life. And it's this new life, this new birth, that he is pouring into all these people in this church. And all these people in this church are pouring into all the area around them, and which is now going to launch other churches and other ministries, exactly what's going on to this day. That we are involved in this ministry of love and care and life. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are light. Every time we see light, we see you. I thank you for that new revelation. I thank you that every time I see any kind of light, I see you. Lord Jesus, you are life. Every time I look at a tree, every time I see a flower, every time I see a person, every time I see anything alive, I know it is from you. You are hope. You are that certainty that we never have complete. Even with our own children, as they leave home, you are that certainty, that rock that they get to stand on, that we get to stand on, that we all get to stand on simultaneously. Regardless if we're in Japan or North Korea or United States or wherever we may be, that we're standing on the same rock. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are universal. We thank you, dear Father God, that you love us so much that you give us our moms. We all have our moms that gave us birth, and we thank you for them. We thank you for the unconditional love they give us. We thank you for the training and the wisdom they've given upon us. We thank you for the ministry you have shared with us. We thank you, dear Father God, for every person that's ever poured into us, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can pour into others. We thank you for this legacy, that our legacy will continue forever, because our legacy is you. We thank you and give you all praise and joy. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, thank you again, Mike and Deb, for the roses. So ladies, make sure you see Mike and Deb for the rose if you haven't gotten one yet. And second of all, remember you cannot leave until a gentleman gives you a gift. Every lady here gets a gift today, and it will be given and presented by a gentleman in the room. Let's close this, let's close our worship to our Lord with once again singing the chorus. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you?
Songs, I was just amazed how they fit like a glove. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? So our assignment, first and foremost, is to thank our moms. To just, you know, give a call. And if they're no longer with us, we can still give a call. We can still talk to them. We can still give a prayer, right? I can still pray for my mom, and my mom still hears me because she's connected to Jesus, and I'm connected to Jesus. We got that connection, so I can still talk to her even though she's not here. So my first thing is that we should give a thank you to our moms for all they have given us. And all that they have poured into us. And then what will we, it really begs the question, what will we do with it? How will we pass on our legacy in the Lord? Our legacy is in the Lord. Our legacy is, Jesus is life. He is that life that is in us. He is that life that was given to us. He is that second life that when we have that reawakening and understand our purpose, He has created all things. He is in all things. How will we pass on that legacy? You know, my mom had what I would call blind faith. But it wasn't blind at all. It was just a trusting faith. I called it blind, but it wasn't blind. She trusted Jesus in everything. She's not like me. I need proof, okay? I need to look at the archaeology, and I need to look at the text, and I need to figure stuff out. I'm still trying to figure out some stuff, let me tell you. But my mom just knew. I envy that. She just knew Jesus. And so I ask for us to have that combination, to just know Jesus. But search out God as much as we can. And then if we meet somebody who's searching, help them a little bit to search it out. And if they're just as trusting, help them to trust more. How will we pass on our legacy to our children? And I gotta tell you, the thing that really fascinates me more than anything these days is grandmas and grandfathers. Man, they are pouring into their grandkids. They are pouring into the grandkids, probably maybe even more than the parents these days. The grandparents understand that, you know, we've got this legacy, we've got this Lord, and these grandkids need to know the Lord. Can I get an amen from the grandparents?
Amen.
And they know that they are the last great hope, right? And that they have to pour into them. They're still pouring into their kids as well. But, you know, if the parents, isn't that what the passage was? You know, Lois and Eunice both were pouring into Timothy. That we all got to do this thing. So when it's all been said and done, will I have lived my life in you? And will I have passed on that legacy? Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for our gift of physical life that we have been born. And we thank you for that spiritual life that we've been reborn. We ask that we can help others, Lord, find that life, both their physical life and their reborn life. Because many of us are just struggling even in the physical, Lord, much less the spiritual. Give us wisdom to know how to pour into them and share the legacy of our Lord Jesus. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and serve the Lord. Before you leave, the men, I'm going to ask all the men to go over to the table and grab up one of those bags and hand it to any of the women.
And I'm going to invite, we have, please take extras.
We have extras there.
To your mom. People that you have at home, ladies, people that couldn't be here today, Stephen, take one home for Nancy and Karen. So just, we have lots. So take them with you.
Please do. These gifts are also symbolic. So these gifts are a little planted, a tiny little plant tree. And, you know, if we look out at these great oaks and maples, as we look out at them, we see that they have been around for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And so your legacy grows. Go share your legacy.